Chuck and Julie, bringing you the truth straight up.
I'm Julie Hayden.
An Emmy-winning former investigative reporter, a highly successful trial attorney, and publisher of a major Denver area newspaper. They've been partners as talk show hosts and in marriage as parents for over 10 years, providing thought-provoking information, opinion, and entertainment live, local, and interactive. Everyone's voice is always welcome on the Chuck and Julie Show.
Hello, everybody. Chuck and Julie. Chuck Bonneville, Julie Hayden, Truth Straight Up. Convention week, that's exciting. And we're brought to you, as always, by Colorado Citizen Press and Synergenics. And Colorado Citizen Press, great articles on the school mandate, on masks, and everything else. So be sure to check it out every day.
ColoradoCitizenPress.com. Coming up at 3:30, we're going to have Dr. Brian Junedep on. He has a great column, an American thinker. He's been writing a lot lately. Talking about sort of the playbook that the Democrats use, similar coronavirus and, you know, the climate gate situation. So really interesting analysis. And I read it. I'm like, he's absolutely correct. One of the other things we're going to talk a little bit about, and thanks to our producers there at BBS Radio for tipping me off on this video called Shadowgate. I watched it, and you know, every time I think maybe there's a reason to be optimistic, I'm like, no, we're doomed. But information is knowledge, and knowledge is good. And so we're going to talk a little bit about that, and I think we'll do more with that on Wednesday too. But you know, I also want, we got an email, another email from Mark that I'm checking out on voter stuff. So I really appreciate it. We do, when you guys send us information. You know, we're not just always here in our basement. We get out, but it, particularly
we get
these,
out a lot.
We get out a lot, but it's good. I love it when everybody sends us stuff for us to check out.
Yeah, it's an interesting week. It's convention week. You must be excited. I'm not sure. I'm not sure you can call it televised speeches with no one there.
Live streaming it. ABC said they maybe carry it tonight, like around 8 o'clock. Weren't sure.
And you know, just politicians bloviating in front of a nobody.
Ooh, there's, yeah.
So tonight they're going to have John Kasich, as somebody said, some Democrats said, great, anti-choice, union-busting creep, and we're supposed to give him all our time.
Right, and AOC gets like a pre-recorded, so they didn't even trust her to not go off the ranch, right? She's just pre-recorded. And I'm going to bet it's not even going to be her. It's going to be somebody with a mask on that looks a lot like Kamala Harris pretending to be her reading the speech.
Then they're going to have Meg Whitman, a Republican candidate for governor in California decades ago, and along with Christine Todd Whitman, who was a New Jersey Republican, who's always the one they go to when they want a Democrat. Republicans say that we all should be Democrats.
Shouldn't Michelle Obama's going to talk to?
I forgot. Michelle Maybelle is going to be there. And
I'm surprised Hillary Clinton, you would think, I wouldn't think they would let her, because Hillary Clinton's probably going to go off on how they should have elected her in the first place. And then none of this would be, you know, there would be no Trump, and that it's everybody else's fault. Bill Clinton, you know, I just think he should probably stay out of the limelight right now.
He's too old to rape anybody anymore, so he'll be okay.
Well, I know, but there's still questions.
You know, it is kind of, you know, as he gets older and older, he's still very good looking. Well, Hillary gets closer to the Hildebeest every day. I mean, there's just something she's really turning into. Just,
well, and I think it is too bad. The convention's not particularly exciting. The Republican convention, equally, I think, not as exciting. Although I think Trump is holding rallies. He's in Minnesota, right? Or Michigan?
Yeah,
I forget.
He's in Minnesota today. Came in, touchdown. Big crowd there cheering him as he came in. I guess he's going to talk to small businesses that they've raped in there. I can see Joe Biden, you know, flying in and to a riot or something. Like, let's loot the place.
Somebody had done a research project, and I forget who, but where they showed that, like, Donald Trump, like 99% of the mainstream media coverage is completely negative. The comments are negative. The tone is negative. The coverage is negative. And then Joe Biden, it's all positive. And that's without him even answering any questions. They don't even ask questions. I got to say, I think we've all seen by now the video where Joe Joe and Kamala like signed something announcing they're running for president and vice president. And the reporters, they sit there and they look at them. And then the media handler goes, okay, everybody out, out, out.
Yeah.
I have never seen such sheep reporters.
Right,
granted,
right, yeah.
You don't see that. Donald Trump, they just shout, right? I mean, right, they just scream the questions at him, even when he can't hear them with the helicopter. And Trump takes it all, right? Trump will wander over there and he answers anything they ask. And he'll stand there as long as they want to ask him questions for the most part. I have never seen media so... I mean, they should be ashamed of themselves, right? They didn't even try. They didn't say, hey, wait, there was no protest. There was no, hey, wait a minute. There was no shouting out a question at the, you know what I mean? Nothing like that.
You know, and yeah,
I mean, right there, that tells you
all you need to know. The interesting thing today, that Jill Biden's former husband, Mr. Stevenson, said, no, they didn't meet on a blind date. He and Jill, when they were married, got close to the Bidens in, I think, the 72 campaign. And then his wife got in a car crash, which Biden lied about, saying that the driver was drunk. He wasn't drunk at all, and he had to apologize, you know, in the last 10 years, I think, claiming that. But he started cheating on him back then, and then they made up. They met on a blind date. He said, it's all
garbage. Well, that's a much better story than we met cheating on each other.
Yeah, exactly. Well, you know, there's not much about Joe that's
I was kind of surprised to see that. That was in the Daily Mail, which tends to be anti-Trump, but I guess they're anti-everybody. But you know what? We wanted to talk about with the conventions a little bit today. And, you know, actually feel free. We can give out the phone number, 888-627-6008. 888-627-6008. If you're on Zoom and you want to pop in, just go ahead and unmute yourself and you can go ahead and comment. But, you know, the conventions are getting really not much attention this year, except for the fact that they're basically nothing. The main
story. They're not
stories.
Conventions.
Right. That's
convention
the main story.
Means a convocation of people in some sense. It's not a TV broadcast from a studio. I mean, that's not a convention.
Right. And or from your, like, you know, from your home. It'd be like, this is the
convention.
Chuck and Julie convention. But it is, though. You know, you hear this all the time, but I think in this case, it's true, and it's not an exaggeration. I think, Chuck, that it doesn't get much more important than this election, because we've seen here what happens in Colorado when the Democrats win. They start changing the rules. We would call it rigging, but you can just, the fact of the matter is they change the rules to make sure that Republicans never win again.
The one thing that always amazed me about Colorado was how meekly the Republicans accepted. Oh, they changed the rules. Oh, it must be all these people moving in from California. No. It is the fact they changed the rules and crooked the process. And the Republicans just sit back there.
But on a national level, I think.
Well, they do the same thing. They'll go to the same old age homes. They'll cheat. They'll lie. They'll steal. We're facing the same problem. I think I brought this up, Julie. You know, should you really allow the Communist Party to participate in elections if they're not going to respect elections once they get elected? And the Nazis, should you let them have a party when the minute they got into power, they made sure that no one would ever throw them out, absent a world war?
Here's what they're going to do, which is not, how do I say it? It's not like going to old nursing homes and things like that. What they're going to do, I think.
No, they do that,
but this is on top of that.
Of votes.
What they're going to do worse than that, though, I think, is they're going to allow people who are here illegally to vote. They're going to allow people who are in prison to vote. They're going to expand their base massively so that.
They're always figuring out new tricks.
Then what they're going to do is they're going to expand the Supreme Court. No more of this messy waiting for judges to die. Let's just expand it, put our people in who will then uphold our rules. You know, we've seen again what happens in Colorado. They put in then attorney generals. They put in
crooked secretary of state.
Everybody, exactly. So,
let's go to the lines. Let's go to Barney, see what he's doing today. Barney.
Hey, Barney.
Hello, Chuck. Hello, Julie.
Hi.
Hey, how are you? Did you have a good weekend?
We did. Actually, played a lot of golf. Chuck Scott, he was in a happy mood. Bad mood Saturday, good mood Sunday.
Golf depends on golf. Good golf. Happy wife, happy life. It's happy golf, happy life for Julie.
How about you?
Are you one of these guys with the putter that, when you miss it, you throw a fit and you start winging it?
I'm pretty good with the putter.
So, a driver,
okay. You know. I'll give that a wing. I'd like to have Sean Lowry Shane Lowry broke his 7-iron over his knee. I thought that was pretty good. I like that.
We have to penalize.
Oh, beautiful. Her. Just like the happy, kind of Happy Gilmore type.
Yeah.
And we periodically penalize Chuck.
Yeah, a couple strokes, you know.
No, money. Money. He has to pay the fine.
I kind of always had him pegged for being a, you know, throwing a temper tantrum. But, hey, when will Corey be speaking at the Democrat National what about the other butt clown, Mitt Romney? Is he going to be, I mean, who else? One jackass.
I mean, he's going to be introducing
a bunch of them
him.
In the Republican Party.
Where is Corey these days? He's everywhere.
He's taking care of the wilderness.
Yeah, the wilderness.
He's taking care of the wilderness.
Yeah. He's having Mitch run negative ads on Hickenlooper, and that's what he's doing.
Yeah. Well, I think.
But you know what's pathetic? I'm sorry. Go ahead, Julie.
I was going to say, I see Casper there. So, Casper, hang on. We'll get you in a second because Casper is one person who's
campaigning. Hang on there, Casper. I got priorities. You just hang on there, buddy. But real quick, I wanted to say, there you go. The Casper. But isn't it? Dang it. No. Okay. Love you guys. I forgot what I was going to say.
Okay. Just make it up. That's what we do, Barney. All right. We love you, too. We'll see you later.
Good. Love you guys.
All right. Hey, Casper, so I see, is that, I got to put my glasses on. Is that Ed Perlmutter in the back there campaigning with you? Well, unmute yourself, Casper. You got to unmute yourself. Wait, there you go.
All right. Yes. Can you hear me?
We can hear you.
Okay, perfect. So this is Cardboard Ed, or CE for short. I call him CE. CE is a Trump supporter. Oh. He also wears a mask from time to time. So we have a Trump 2020 mask on.
Good.
And he's been following me around on the campaign trail.
I know it.
And he likes to get autographs. So we get a bunch of autographs from people, patriots on the campaign trail.
Perfect.
How is it going? I mean, it's, you know, a lot of times people say the average person doesn't start paying a ton of attention until after Labor Day. But, you know, unlike certain other Republican candidates who we won't mention.
For Senator, yeah.
For Senator Cory Gardner. You're out there. I mean, I see your tweets. You're everywhere. What are people saying? What's your sense of the country?
People are excited. And here's some checks. I don't want to show you the names, but I'm just kind of waiting. These are checks that just came in today.
Whoa. And
I have some very late breaking news for you guys. So.
Okay.
Lunch today at 11:30, history was made because all the congressional candidates and representatives in Colorado, except for one, were in the same room at the same time on the same stage.
Wow.
Ken Buck, Steve House, Lauren Boebert, myself, Shane Bowling, Charlie Wynn were all on the same stage at the same time. The only one missing was Ken Lamborn. That's never happened before.
Not much of a loss.
I was going to say, well, and where was that and what was that? Sounds like that's a good gathering.
Yes, it never happened before. That was at the Water's Edge Winery in
Centennial. Absolutely, great people.
Yep, so we had a luncheon. And what I was telling Ken and the folks that were there, this is history in the making, but it's also something we should be doing more of before the election is over, because if we show a unified front like that, I mean, it was an awesome thing, and I praise them for it because it's never happened before.
Yeah.
Wow.
And it's what I've been wanting to happen, and what I know you guys have been saying, you know, we need, as Republicans, we got to come together.
Yeah.
Otherwise, we don't win.
Right. Well, and I think, you know, and Ken Buck is head of the Republican Party. I think it's a really good sign that he was in Colorado, that not only was he there as his office, but
did you say Corey was there?
No.
Corey. Well, here's his Twitter. I mean, you've been waiting, you know, for this dynamic, you know, hard-hitting thing on the face mask, COVID-19, riots, you know, the whole thing. I'm grateful to have Senate Virginia Chairman Jerry Moran in Colorado today discuss we can further support our nation's veterans. This morning we met with
M14
Brian Health to discuss their program to care for veterans. Now there you go, hard hitting smackaroo.
He's on it. He's on it. Yeah,
fighting for us.
So I was in Loveland over the weekend on Saturday. And there were over 700 patriots waving flags, Trump signs and flags and stuff. There were 7 BLM protesters, all young white teenagers and stuff like that.
Right.
So most people were calling them names and stuff and trying to get them out of there. I actually tracked them down. I wanted to have a conversation.
Okay.
So these weren't the typical Antifa dressed in black with helmets and stuff. You know, they were wearing flip-flops and shorts, and, you know, they were there to protest, but they weren't the typical angry.
Rioting.
Yeah. Like we saw like in Denver a couple weeks ago.
Right. Oh, yeah.
So I went up and talked to them, and I caught up with three of them. One was a young gay man, and then the other two, I believe, were gay women.
Okay.
And I engaged them in conversation. And to make a long story short, the young man who was holding Trump signs protesting the rally, he said, if I lived in your district, Casper, I would vote for you.
Ah,
there you go.
There you go.
So it can happen. We can have these conversations. We can't have them with the riotous atmosphere that we saw in Denver.
But it tends to be at a high volume. We had some discussions at the meeting.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, him and I were having reasonable conversations, and he was asking me, because I asked him, I said, why are you out here protesting? What do you not like about Trump? And he threw it back at me. He thought it was going to stump me. He said, so what do you like about Trump? I said, well, I got a bunch of stuff.
So, let me start counting.
Right. So I ran off all the things, and he's like, oh, okay. And then we talked about some more stuff. We talked about the endless wars. And I said, well, okay, I'm against endless wars too. I said, but the problem is both sides have been causing these endless wars. It's not just Republican. Democrats have no problem with endless wars as well.
Right.
You know, Bush, Obama, the whole gang.
Well, did you mention what Trump did in the Middle East just a couple of days ago? Speaking of,
I did. I said, Trump is trying to pull troops out of the region. At the same time, he's signing peace agreements in the region.
Right.
And
who criticized him? Ben Rhodes, Obama's national security assistant.
Yeah, I said, why are we having peace accords? That's terrible. Yeah,
how dare he have peace in the Middle East? And stuff.
That's right.
You know, but one of the things I was just amazed with Trump at, because over the years we have had Jimmy Carter and Reagan and Bush, and all of them have tried to get Israel and Palestinian together. And the Palestinians hate Israel to the point they don't even want to see it existing.
Right.
Israel is willing to talk, but they also are not willing to lose their country, you know, their lives in their country over it. So Trump just went around Palestine altogether. Well, there's no Palestine, but he went around the Palestinian people altogether and just went to an outside group, the UAE, and said, hey, you guys like money? Israel's got money. They have
UAE doesn't need any money. I can promise you that. And there's what kills the Palestinians is the UAE is one of their biggest financial supporters.
Well, that's what I mean. You kind
and
of
so that up. The fact that they're getting together with Israel is kind of like, oh no.
And that's my point. So Trump went to an outside organization and looped them into the whole discussion, totally avoiding the Palestinian leadership.
Right.
And now other countries are starting to come on board to that.
And then all of a sudden, if you're the Palestinian, I mean, you know, it's a brilliant strategy, I think, rather than try to get two sides together who are never, it's clear I'm not ever, there's no even remote common ground there.
Right.
Let's go find some
common ground. Well, it also came across with the old saying, you know, the enemy of my enemy is my friend.
Right.
And in this case, it's Iran.
Right.
Shiite Iran wants to dominate Saudi Arabia and
they're
going, well, you know, Israel's not going to probably hurt us, but Iran sure could. So maybe, maybe we have a common enemy in Iran, at least a common opponent. And so I think it's brilliant. I mean, you know, for the guy who's, you know, too addled to be president, and he's dumb and he's stupid. Yeah. He sure managed to do a lot of good stuff, doesn't he?
He's killing it. He's killing it. I know you guys have to run onto other things and guests and stuff. So I have three events coming up.
Okay.
Very quickly, I have on Wednesday, Derek Wilburn is coming into town. He's going to host my first Patriot Series events. It's going to be Wednesday evening. It's going to be in the Thornton area, and that's all on the Facebook and website. Just go to CasperForColorado.com/events.
Okay.
And then next week, K. Carl Smith is coming in town. I'm flying him in. He's going to host the second series on the 26th of August. And then on the 9th of September, Elbert Guillory is coming in town. Okay. And he's going to be hosting the, he's going to be keynoting the event on the 9th of September. But Elbert is going to be in town for over 4 or 5 days.
Oh.
And him and I are going to be on the campaign trail. We're going to be doing meet and greets. You know, I'd love to get him on the show for you guys to talk to him.
Bring them all on. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Perfect. So, okay.
That's great.
One more time then. Where can people, because you got 3 checks there. We need more. Mm-hmm. Yes. So where should people go to donate, find out about the events and find out about you?
Absolutely. So they can go to Casper4Colorado. It's the word for F-O-R, Colorado.com. They can go to that same website /events. And they can see all 3 events listed there. They're all on Eventbrite. It's just $50 per person or $75 per couple. We've got keynote speakers. We've got gift bags. We've got music.
Oh, wow.
We've got fun. It's going to be a great event. And those 3 speakers, and you guys know Derek already, but
right.
Kay Carl Smith and Elbert, the message that they deliver is phenomenal. And it's the exact message that we need right now as Republicans to start winning these elections.
All right, Casper, good to see you. Thanks
for coming on. We applaud you. Thank you. Say hey to Ed there.
Yes.
We'll see you later.
All right, take care, guys.
Well, now we've got a short break. Let's talk about Synergenics for just a second. Synergenics, Julie McCall and the doctors came up with a different type of medical practice. They called it age management medicine. And the goal is to reverse your biological age so you feel and act much younger, your strength, stamina, and power is restored. Rebalance your body to your 20s or 30s, enable you to get back to youthful mind and body functionality. Boost your libido, eliminate sleep issues, boost your mental acuity. Protect yourself from age-related. Don't get those comorbidities where COVID gets you. As I said, I'm 70 years old, but I don't feel 70. Mm-mm. I feel much younger, and that's beautiful. I mean, it really is great. And, you know, if you haven't gone to them, you should before you have a problem. I know Peter and I kind of waited till we had heart problems, which wasn't the smartest of ideas, but it's just wonderful. Give her a call. She'll talk to you personally, give you a free consultation. Call her at 720-387-3681, 720-387-3681, or go to Synergenics, C-E-N-E-G-E-N-I-C-S. And just tell them Chuck and Julie sent you.
That's right. And back, and we're waiting for Brian Jundep to join us. And again, want to tell folks, 888-627-6008 is the number, 888-627-6008. If you want to call in, if you're on Zoom and you want to weigh in, you can just do that too. Just unmute yourself and bring your camera up if you want, and we'll see that you're there, and we can talk that way. But back to the election, though, Chuck, I think, you know, it's good to see and to hear people like Casper out there working hard. I'm glad that they had most of the Republican candidates in the state.
At the winery,
right?
Which was, and stood up to the governor's mandate.
Exactly. And you know, I think that's what it's going to take. You know,
no, it's going to take a ground game which you don't have. But you know,
I mean, at least it starts with some enthusiasm.
Yeah.
And, you know, and you got to be careful because the Democrats and the mainstream media are all in cahoots and they control things. I mean, it is no accident, right? If you're a newsroom and you're having independent agencies say, okay, you know, 99% of your coverage against Trump is very negative, and almost none of the coverage of Biden is negative. It's all pretty much positive, particularly now that he's a candidate. Until they made him be the candidate, then they didn't like him.
Their trouble is it has no effect anymore. I mean, you can go on CNN and say, you know, Trump is awful. You kind of, you know, you don't expect anything else. You know,
right.
there's nothing they can, if it's all negative all the time, it's virtually impossible to make any difference anymore. I mean, whatever effect they've had,
well,
but it's not going to get better by saying, oh, Trump's
but you got to pay attention though, because they're sneaky.
They're sneaky.
There was, you know, there were headlines over the weekend about the congressional district 3 race that Lauren Boebert is running in. She upset Scott Tipton. This was mean of Doug Friedenash. I kind of like what a call. I'm calling her a lunatic. Can you imagine if somebody had called Kamala Harris a lunatic? I mean, you can't say anything bad about Kamala Harris because you're such a racist.
What do they call Hancock's opponent? races.
Oh, that's right, Jamie. Jamie Gillis. Yeah, that's right.
So, and you know, what's new?
Yeah, I mean, that was just outrageous. But the coverage is overwhelmingly negative about her. There was no coverage about Tipton, and so they release a poll saying, and they covered as if it's a real poll, right? They release a poll saying, "Oh my God, the race is virtually tied." You know, well, then it comes to find out the poll is a Democrat poll. So it's, you know, they don't tell you who they talk to. They don't tell you what their methodology is, and I'm sure they wouldn't have released any poll they had that showed it was not a tie. So
you can make a poll, see whatever.
Well, exactly. That's what I'm saying. I suspect that this was not a poll designed to get like a feel for should we give money or not give money, or it wasn't one of those. Sometimes they do internal polls.
No, they poll. They
right,
poll
but this I suspect is a poll that was done solely to say that it was tied, to make people think, lunatic. Well,
it's one of two things. One, they got a positive poll, so yeah, let's let it out. Two is, let's crook a poll and make it positive and have it come
out.
Does it really make any difference? Can you trust anyone? No.
But I'm saying the timing of Doug Friedenash's column in the Denver Post calling her a lunatic with the timing of this poll coming out anymore.
Does anybody care about a column in the Denver Post that says that?
The Denver Post sent out like a weird email. First of all, this is, you know, we've talked about it here. We get the newspaper delivered at home sort of out of loyalty to newspapers, right? And then I found out the Denver Post home delivery costs us $103 a month.
Well, because we're the only home that gets it.
It's like, that's a car payment practically. I'm like, $103 a month? Are you kidding me? So we're canceling that.
Yeah.
But then we get an email from them saying that they're going to have to lay off more people. Oh. And so we better all subscribe again. I'm like, not at $103 a month, Denver Post. But to go back to the importance, I think, of the Republicans getting together there, we need that kind of enthusiasm because, again, as we started out the show talking about, this election is so crucial. The Democrats will get in power and they're going to do like they did in Colorado and they're going to change the rules so that it becomes virtually impossible.
They are the equivalent of the Nazis. You know, they'll vent the Reichstag fire and you know, they don't need to. Let's go, okay, just open the border up. All the Dreamers and everyone else, you know, hey. No more country anymore. We just won. You just lost. It is. I think we should outlaw the Democratic Party and allow them to be.
That's right. We should call a special session.
Really, I mean, more and more think there's no way of living with Democrats. I mean, you really can't. I mean, they'll screw you over. They'll do what they did in New York City. They'll do what they did in Chicago.
Destroy it.
I mean, you know, they'll destroy everything. They have destroyed everything they've ever touched, whether North Korea, Venezuela, Cuba. And they'll destroy the United States. And we should just say, look, you can have California, you can have New York. And so it's just
what did they say in Denver? In Denver, there were three people killed, six people shot, three of them fatal, and two shootings. Just I think like last night in Denver alone. There was a time when I was in the newsroom where that would be like big news, right? Where that was kind of like something you would cover, you get into why. Now it's like every day. Well, let's bring in, I see he's there, Dr. Brian Dunedep. Brian, if you want to go ahead and unmute yourself. Thank you for your time. I saw your column this morning and immediately fired off an email and said, hey, can we get you on the show? A great column today in American Thinker. So thank you for joining us at short notice.
Hey, good morning, you guys. How are you?
We're good.
It was great.
We're good. So why don't you tell what you did in the
column? Who are the people moving around in the background behind you?
That's my gallery.
Okay. We don't want to have any Chris Cuomo naked scenes, though, behind his, like, when he was naked in his wife's unless it's Brad Pitt, maybe. But Ben, no, I didn't say that. That's sexist. Well, rather than me just kind of paraphrase it, why don't you explain the premise of your column? Because I thought, boy, you really hit it on the head there.
Well, the premise was that the COVID and the climate change movement are all following the same playbook, that there are similarities. And the simple proof of that is we don't hear about climate change. That sort of dropped off the radar now that the leftists are all obsessed with COVID. But the playbook is much the same. It starts with fear. Instead of fear about the world ending and cities flooding, New York being underwater, which would probably be a good thing these days.
Yeah.
You know, fear of the virus. We're all going to die. We're going to stay closed forever. We're going to wear masks. We can't go to school. So it's fear, fear, fear. That's one. They both movements have self-proclaimed experts.
Yeah.
Movement. It's Al Gore, it's Greta, it's Prince Charles, people like that. And in COVID, you have Fauci and Birx, who are, you know, at least on paper, have some credentials. Al Gore flunked out of divinity school, so that's his credential for climate expertise. And Greta's a 16 or 17-year-old who's, you know, can scowl. And that's,
yeah, kind of crabby.
That's her, what she brings to the table. So right. They have their leaders. Money is involved. It's follow the money. If you look at climate, you look at Solyndra.
Right.
All the shady deals and subsidies going to climate. You know, look how Tom Steyer got rich. He got rich off the climate movement. And Al Gore is selling carbon credits.
Right.
And the
right.
COVID world, it's vaccines. It's
Bill Gates.
It's vaccines, things that can make people lots and lots of money. It's academic grants, that sort of thing. Scorn is heaped on anybody that challenges it. If you challenge the climate movement, you're a denier. You could lose your job. There are prominent academics that have been fired for questioning the climate movement. And look what happens with the virus. You had your group of physicians, America's frontline doctors, that talked about hydroxychloroquine and their experience. One was an emergency room physician. She got fired. That's Dr. Simone Gold. The other one, Dr. Emmanuel's been ridiculed. You know, she's a female immigrant of color. She hits all the intersectionality.
Right.
Except she's not left.
And the media is savaging her. They're making fun of her religious views and everything else.
Yeah. Right.
Those are some of the things. There's also government control with the climate movement. There's the Green New Deal and the government controlling everything. And here we are living through government control on when you can go out, where you can go, whether you can get a haircut, go to church, where you have to wear a mask, what time you have to come home, all those things. And then there's hypocrisy as well.
Yeah.
Having the climate movement, you have Al Gore living in his mansion with 20 times the electric bill of the average American household. The climate warriors fly everywhere by private jet, whether Prince Charles, Leo DiCaprio, Al Gore, they're big carbon footprint jets. They all gather at Davos to discuss the climate arriving on their Gulf streams. So there's the hypocrisy. And then there's the hypocrisy of Dr. Fauci. He's wearing his big mask on the pitcher's mound all alone. You know, his pitch goes more closer to the dugout than the home plate. And there he is up in the bleachers, yucking it up.
He wasn't drinking. He wasn't hydrating.
No.
He was yucking it up with his friends. And they sat within a couple feet of each other when they had every seat in the whole house to themselves. I mean, what a fraud that guy is.
The hypocrisy. And lastly is the inevitability.
Yeah.
Climate change is inevitable. The world's going to end. Ignoring the fact that we've had ice ages that have come and gone. Every ice age was followed by a warming period. Chicago was once under a mile of ice. Well, there was global warming to get rid of that. And this was long before there were SUVs and toxic masculinity barbecues in the backyard, all these other things. And viruses come and go, too. I read something interesting this morning about herd immunity. And
when you may want to get a little closer to your mic. We're losing a little bit.
Population, the virus goes away. They compared New York and Sweden, and both approached it very differently, but they hit about a 15% antibody prevalence in their populations, and everything stopped. That's when the virus went away.
Well, let me ask you. I mean, in Colorado, I follow the Worldometer every day, and in Colorado, half the time they don't report anything because they're a little sheepish about reporting zero deaths or one death, and then every 3 or 4 days they show five. What is the governor extending? What is he terrified of? I mean, more people die of hangnail in Colorado than die of COVID. And you don't really die of COVID. You happen to have COVID when you had your heart attack or whatever else it is.
The numbers are favorable, and I don't see why the masks are being extended. If anything, with good numbers, we should be gradually relaxing, not pushing things further and further. This is summertime. Pretty soon it's going to be fall. The weather changes. This is a good time to be outside in the sun, enjoying yourself. The sun is a disinfectant. UV light kills this virus. There's breeze. All that is very therapeutic and helpful. And keeping people in fear and masks, as I've said before, this is about the election. This really isn't about good right. science. Medicine. It's about
Brian, could you get a little closer to your microphone? We're having a little trouble hearing you.
Sure. It's about keeping people in fear, keeping people cowering, so they don't do anything, so they can push mail-in voting, so they can
right.
push whatever they want. A fearful population is a compliant population.
Well, aren't you surprised how fearful and compliant we are here in Colorado? I am. I mean, I'm, you know, well, all the people's businesses going down, all the parents, and the only thing they've had any pushback on is the obscene teachers union saying, oh, no, well, we can't go to school. I mean, you know, one of those little stinkers may have COVID, and the mere fact that I'm 26 years old or something, and, you know, unless you, even if you're 70, you know, you're
pretty safe.
We're safe. I mean, it's just ridiculous. It's just obscene. I would think there'd be more of a general revolt, but there doesn't appear to be.
The teachers that want, they want to get paid for not working. That's what it
right.
means.
You know, and I was...
If they're that afraid that they can, you know, take a furlough for a year and take the year off and not teach and not get paid either.
But like, they could be like the rest of us, right? You got to, you know, work, you get paid. I know I was at the store today, had to get Rev's school supplies because he goes back to school. They're going to start out 2 days a week with 3 days.
3 days of nothing.
Of nothing, essentially. And then hopefully go to four full days. And
four full days. What happened to 5 days?
Yeah, really. There were a ton of people. I mean, you know, the school supply thing was kind of knocked down. But there was a lady there. Bless her heart. She was... So she had that little fan on because she said this mask gets so freaking hot all day, right? But I got to wear it. But she said, just, I mean, we weren't talking politics. We were just exchanging pleasantries. And she said, you know, she said, it's just really nice to see the parents and the kids coming in here and getting school supplies. She just said, it just makes things seem and feel a little bit more normal. And, you know, I think that, Chuck, you know, maybe we might see some more revolting as kids go to school and parents can go back to work and things get to be more normal. It's harder to force people to do, you know, the things that are strange. I hope anyway.
We did this once. We locked down once. I don't think in practical terms people will put up with it a second time.
No.
Well, it was a scam. We all thought a couple weeks, okay, fine. You know, 6 months later, the governor's going, oh, I have to extend it again. I wish things were more favorable. What's more favorable?
Yeah, but no one has it.
What? No one in the world dying next year? I mean, it's just asinine.
Yeah, but Brian,
it's asinine.
And let me ask you this in terms of the testing. I was reading a column today, not an American Thinker, but in another place, where the person was suggesting, let's just quit doing these stupid tests because the media turns it around. When you get right down to it, the fact that we're doing tests and more people are testing positive but not getting sick, right? That's actually good news because it gets to what you're talking about, the herd immunity. But she said instead, what the media does is they use it to hype it up and make it seem like, man, if you go outside, and particularly, man, if you don't wear your mask, then you're killing people, right? But I mean, in a way, I thought she's right. Why, if you think you're sick, then go get a test, right? And then find out so it can be treated. If you don't think you're sick, then just quit testing everybody. That just seems stupid to me.
There's a good article.
Now, I'm breaking in here. I'm going to break in. This is the board off. My name's Don, and I apologize, Dr. June Depp, but your volume is so light that nobody can actually really hear you. And I love hearing you. I mean, when we get you on the program, it's a delight, and we'd really like to hear you.
No, thank you for that.
Is that better now?
That's better.
Yeah.
Thank you. Hey.
Perfect. Thanks, guys, at BBS.
I don't know, these computer stuff. Okay.
So, there you go.
It keeps wanting to adjust. I don't know. I'm not going to call the Geek Squad or something.
But anyway, well, I was asking about testing.
Yeah.
I mean, I think what's the point of just testing everybody, particularly if all the media is going to do is skew it to make it seem as if we're all, I mean, you know, they don't point out that people are fine, that many of the people being tested didn't even realize they had it.
There's a good article in The Atlantic about testing, and the current test is a PCR test, which finds and amplifies minute viral particles. So somebody may have had coronavirus a month ago, and they're still coughing up a little bit. There's a little bit in their lungs. They will test positive. That's not meaningful because they're no longer contagious. And the tests take too long to come back. And by the time you wait 2 weeks to find out if you've tested positive, you're over it already.
Right.
So the testing is really misguided. They really need a test to determine if you're contagious or not.
I have another question, too. Michael Tao had a column in Red State where he was talking about what exactly is coronavirus anyway. I mean, when they talk about the test, it kind of is like maybe like a pregnancy test, right? There's either a plus or a minus. You're either pregnant or you're not. But I gather coronavirus, I mean, it's not like it's just one thing. It's like, eureka, there it is. I mean, am I right there? He was explaining that coronavirus is much vaguer than that. So it's not even really clear what they're actually testing for when they get a positive, what that actually even really means.
Well, there's the possibility that they test positive to another virus that's similar. You may have had a cold and have antibodies to that, and you could, the antibody test, for example, could pick up immunity to the common cold or another coronavirus. So it's not necessarily that specific. But the real thing you want to test for is whether people are contagious or not.
Right.
That's the test they can do. And if they had a quick way of doing that, and you test contagious, you stay home for a week rather than close everything down.
Right.
A classroom, and they're doing, or at least talking about novel things like getting a sample from every kid in the classroom, tested all at once, you know, a swab or a spit. If anybody tests positive, the whole class stays home, not close the school. And that's a way of at least isolating if there's
Well, what if they are positive? It's like saying a kid has sniffles. Let's close down the universe. I mean, okay, he's positive. 25-year-old teacher, all these little kids, it's like having a cold for them.
Right, that's a separate issue. The teachers are predominantly young. They're not going to catch this. And just let it run its course. What's interesting is that Sweden and New York did much the same. They handled it similarly. Sweden did not close schools. No masks, businesses stayed open, and they didn't wreck their economy. And they had similar mortality numbers of other places, very similar to Michigan and other states that decimated their economies.
Well, you know, Leo, who came in, just said California, the first death of under 18, and they had a comorbidity. If you look at New York, it has two or three or four. What are they closed down for? What are they closed down for?
And they went on to they destroyed New York, really.
Yeah. I mean, it's just amazing. We've got, as you point out, it's the same as climate change. You create enough hysteria, and of course, the media plays along with it. It's just, it doesn't matter. It's as if this was the Black Death. I mean, really.
Well, and then you had
it's, you know, they say we have not had anything, even the president, we have not had anything like this since 1918. Yes, you have. The Hong Kong flu was just as bad. And four or five or six or 10 others. I mean, actually, the 1918 influenza was a killer. This is not.
This will go down as a flu season.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Probably not even the worst. We don't know how many deaths are legitimate, how many are attributed to coronavirus falsely, gunshot wounds, auto accidents. George Floyd technically is a coronavirus death.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly.
And now that we see the videotape, it may very well have been. Who knows? That might have been the primary factor, because separate issue. But
right.
You're seeing people that are falsely attributed to have died of this and have it. So the reporting's right. All over the place. And what can we believe? The government numbers, they've been wrong. They've been wrong on the predictions. They've been wrong on everything. And that's, again, where the similarity to the climate movement. Climate is all based on models and predictions. The climate models have been wrong. We've been hearing for decades that the world's going to end in 10 years. And meanwhile, instead of heating, we're cooling.
Right.
No model has been able to predict the climate, and we don't have a good model predicting this virus.
No, garbage in, garbage out. You know, and one other similarity, too, is I think that people – you can tell by people's behaviors and their actions that they don't believe either one, really, right? People, if you ask them, I worry about climate change, yeah. And then in the meantime, you know, they're getting in their car and they're driving downtown, or they're ordering individual items from Amazon. So the Amazon guys, you know, I mean, their behaviors don't match what they would do if they were really.
That doesn't involve people drink lots of alcohol and they know it's no good for them.
But no, but what I'm saying, though, is, and the same thing, you can see all these people, you know, if people really thought that they were going to drop dead or kill their their grandmother from coronavirus, they wouldn't be going to bars. They wouldn't be going to protests.
Oh, I know you're not a dentist, but have you been reading about mask mouth and
I have seen that. Well, constant rebreathing, CO2 levels, CO2 turns into carbonic acid, and that's probably damaging teeth, gums, et cetera. There are all sorts of unintended consequences. The mental health effects of this are huge.
Yes.
Mental health facilities are all full. Suicides are up, depression, anxiety, all of that, from people losing their jobs to just being anxious about the state of things.
Right. And that being a book. Well, listen, Brian, we'll let you go. I apologize for the audio issues, folks. I know that that's who knows. Like you said, it's YouTube is you know.
I think you probably need to work a little on that computer a little
but
bit.
But where, once again, so you've got your column up at American Thinker. That's the best place to find you.
I write for American Thinker and Rasmussen Reports. I have a column in the Villager, which is a local newspaper for Arapahoe County. Facebook, Twitter.
You're expanding.
You're all over.
Expanding. Rasmussen now. You're expanding. The empire is getting bigger and bigger.
I'm everywhere.
Yeah, there you go. Hey, listen, thank you for your time. We appreciate it as always.
Hey, my pleasure. Nice seeing you guys.
All right. Thank you. Yeah, I really recommend anytime you just see his byline, Brian Junedep, go ahead and read it because it's always a good read. Well, you know, I want to go then a little bit. And again, thanks to the guys at BBS for pointing this out to me and talk a little bit about Shadowgate because, you know, he talks about the similarities being from a playbook. Well, this is a documentary. And at first I thought, no, these people are crazy. This is too far down the rabbit hole, even for me. But then I listened to the whole thing and you're like, holy cow. Holy cow. This is something to be alarmed about. Because what they are saying is there literally is a playbook, right? And it's a playbook that goes, her name is Millie Weaver. It's a playbook that goes beyond just, you know, Democrats and Republicans. It's a sort of the military industrial complex, so it's even broader than that. They talk about just the companies, and we want to talk more about that on Wednesday because it's fascinating and I want to do a little bit of research. But again, I find it interesting. YouTube pulled this Shadowgate almost instantly when it was posted, calling it hate speech. Okay, now I listen to it. You may say, I disagree with it. I don't know if this is true. But it certainly is every bit as true as, you know, the Russiagate stuff, right? I mean, what she's saying couldn't be any more out there than the New York Times reporting about the DNC being hacked by Russians, right? Or the Washington Post. So they don't pull those things down. I find it really interesting that YouTube and Facebook, without even listening to it, it's not hate speech at all. They banned it.
Well, you keep on mixing up like racism and hate speech when you say it's not hate speech. They get to define hate.
Right.
Hate is anything they don't like. Racist is anything they don't like. Then it's racist and it's hate speech.
But what's interesting is this documentary. If you Google around, before Google stops it, you can find it. So it's out there and you can watch it. And like I said, we'll pull some of it and talk about it because it was really interesting. And it talked a lot about the stuff that we talk here too, that it's not just Democrat, Republican, that there is money involved and global kind of interests involved. And that they deliberately work very hard to shape narratives and they have a complicit media, which is, you know, and again, when you have YouTube specifically, they banned the doctors who were talking about that. Right, I never can say that
hydroxychloroquine.
Right. Which is, it is at least a legitimate, I mean, they're treating it like it's voodoo science, right? And it's not, it's a legitimate treatment.
I don't think I've ever seen anything like that.
Right.
Lots of doctors, lots of people say, yes, it's very effective. Some others don't think as much, but they treat it as a total scam. While whatever the Gates vaccine, which will cause billions, is all
right. Which he's going to make a ton of money of, right? It's like they just pull it from the social media platform. They pull Trump from the social media platform, and I guarantee you, all of that is just laying the groundwork for banning Trump for this or banning Trump for that, right? And I think the problem that they have is that people are so aware of it now. They've had to expose and show their hand so totally that I think people are automatically skeptical. And again, I started reading this and at first I'm like, oh, or listening to it, I'm like, I don't know. But then you're like, whoa, wait a minute. That's true. And again, the fact that YouTube.
I've not seen it yet.
I know, Chuck, look at it. But if the fact that YouTube immediately pulled it. To me, that says more than anything.
It's just anything. Scary.
It's just scary. Again, because they don't pull the Washington Post story. They don't pull the whole, I mean, after Mueller said, okay, there was no collusion, right? I mean, all of that should have been gone. All of those articles, you know, Rachel Maddow, all of that by rights then should be banned also, because it's just flat out not true.
Well,
and it's
nothing
been
makes
proven
sense.
They
says,
true.
The New York Times says, no, we can't have a column by a U.S. Senator from Arkansas, because we didn't, you know, vet it enough, and our little minions.
Well, and vetting doesn't mean proving it factually. No, vetting means that we just run it by our little social media group.
Yeah, our little social media group. So, I mean, they've all gone insane. I'm just hoping America kind of gets, you know, kind of goes, you know, I don't care how bad Trump is. It can't be as bad as these wackos. And Biden, I mean, there has never been as bad a candidate as Joe Biden, ever. I mean, Horace Greeley died in an asylum a couple months after the end of the election. He wasn't this bad. I mean, he can't go on an interview. His wife can.
Well, they can't even let reporters take, they can't even shout questions at them that he ignores, right?
Yeah, they don't.
No.
Wow. I mean, Trump called him today a Trojan horse for socialism. I think it's true. Except it's not a very attractive Trojan horse. I mean, at least the original Trojan horse.
Well, and they're fooling the Democrats. I mean, if you're a Democrat, you need to, like, come down the conspiracy theory road with us a little bit. If you're a Democrat, you've got to wonder, why are they, all of a sudden, Kamala Harris becomes, you know, moderate, pragmatic moderate, or whatever, right? And it's like, on the one hand, you have all of these people pushing the progressive agenda. On the other hand, who are they having speak at the Democrat convention? Hillary Clinton, Bill Clinton, AOC gets a pre-recorded 60 seconds.
Obama.
So if you're a Democrat and you think that they, and you like some of these progressive ideas, and you think that they're going to let those go through, they're just protecting the Wall Street boys, I think. And maybe they'll do the progressive agenda.
Well, they'll figure out some progressive agenda where they
get rich,
end up rich, and all the rest of us end up incredibly poor. But
you got to wonder, I think, though, the coronavirus, well, on one hand, it was probably a gift from God. And now I'm wondering if they didn't even manufacture it. No, I don't think that. But you know, if somebody said, no, actually, that's true, Julie, I would be like, you know, it's not shocking. But it's kind of, I think parts of it are kind of coming around back to Biden, because college students are now saying, well, I'm not going to go to college this year, right? I mean, universities.
Well, they can't give us $60,000. And then go in your basement and listen to a YouTube of the teacher. Yeah. Oh, okay.
Well, I don't need to do that. Maybe I'll just hack into it. I mean, that's ridiculous. And then again, you have parents. They're trying, the Denver public schools are trying to white guilt parents by saying, hey, we're not holding school, but if you send your kid to a private school, or if you hire a tutor, that's racist. You're being racist because
your child must be stupid.
All of these other kids, that's right. As if, I mean, implying somehow that if you're a minority parent, you don't care about your kids, so you're not going to try to find a tutor. Right. I mean, I don't know. I mean, that whole concept is racist, but it's starting to backfire against them. Parents are like, okay, well, I'm going to look into an alternative educational system. I think that, you know, education is one of their main sort of platforms or columns. The Democrat Party.
Bad education.
Yeah,
that's been one of their
And in the meantime, then people are like,
but well, the teachers, you know, holding the signs saying, I ain't going to die for some stinking kid. I mean,
but they still want to get paid.
Yeah, well, yeah, don't we all? I mean, their hideousness has been really brought out.
That's right.
But I don't know. You know, the guessing recent CNN poll has them down only 4 points. Although you wonder whether they, you know, they're okay, we'll get down four, and then we'll, hey, it's going back up. It's going back up.
Yeah, I think the trouble with polls is this is my gut feeling. And if I'm, and you know, weigh in if somebody wants to pop in on Zoom or 888-627-6008. When you look at it, I think, and Chuck, you've said this before, I don't know of any, well, maybe Craig Silverman, but I don't know of any Trump, people who voted for Trump.
Oh, that's right. He did vote for Trump.
That's right. Who are going to, who are not going to vote
for Trump. I've always been saying.
That's right. So one person in America. But I mean, I think, so everybody who voted for Trump is going to still vote for, I mean, it was a close election, right? Yeah. And somehow they pretend, and I think that's where they get caught in their own bubble. They don't know anyone who likes Trump, so they assume there's no one out there. You still have half the people in the country like Trump, right, who voted for him. So, you know, the polls that show Trump is way, way down, I think have to be false anyway. And I also think that there are, I don't know if I don't know that there are any Democrats who are now going to vote for Trump, but I can see a lot of people just silently saying, I'm not going to tell you if you're a pollster. I'm not going to talk about it, but I'm going to go vote.
Well, encouraging thing is in various states, including Pennsylvania, Michigan, you know, there are far more new Republican right. registrations than are Democrat, which is really encouraging.
Right. And I think their whole mail ballot thing is kind of falling apart, too, because I think what's happening is there's a lot of confusion out there. And so people, I think the overall impression you get is, oh, it's all screwed up. Now, I don't know that it actually is all that screwed up, but you certainly are getting that impression. And I don't know why Nancy Pelosi wants to give them more money. I'm not sure what that would do.
Allow them to spend more resources on the election.
Right. But the problem sometimes was a lot of the mailing with the...
Is Nancy Pelosi one of the...
Well, let me just... But with the mail ballot, part of the problem is that the vendors don't get it to the... I think once it gets to the post office, it's okay, right? They don't have all these problems getting it there
okay?
and there.
Nothing's okay at the post office.
Well, that's the other thing, too. People instinctively know that if you have something really... I mean, everybody says, you know, this bill is due on this date. Yeah. Don't mail it, bring it in. So people get that, the post office is pretty darn good, but if it's something that really, really matters, you want to go ahead and take it to something personal. So,
all right. Well, Julie, I mean, it's going to be wild. You turn in tonight for to see the Republicans saying why they should be Democrats and Michelle.
Ex-Republicans are.
You know, Michelle always has to have a big crowd there to cheer along. So it'll be interesting how they do a soundtrack.
Just do like they do in like comedies or something. People clapping, it'll be fake clapping or something like that. You even forget it's actually going on. And I don't know how. Well, I guess they're still going to, it'll be interesting to see. Oh, Ben popped in. You can speak. It's going to be interesting to see how long.
Let's go to Ben real quick.
They can keep Biden from talking. Hey, Ben, you got about 2 minutes.
Oh, okay. I just wanted to mention that Trump mentioned this morning that those are going to be pre-recorded speeches on the Democratic side. So it's like when they do a faux pas, they can edit that out. So it always will be the best and the brightest that you have there. And to all those people that, you know, they're losing their lives in all these gun shootings, I still say that they're going to be showing up and voting in November election. You just watch.
That's right. That's right, Ben. Hey, thank you for that. Yeah. Sir. It's nice to see you.
Good to see you, Ben.
That'll do it. Run to tell folks if you miss the podcast or you want to hear the podcast, just go to chuckandjulie.com. You can also go there to listen live. We'd love to have you on Zoom. And thanks to Thomas and the guys at BBS. And you can check out the podcast at chuckandjulie.com. Please follow us on Twitter at chuckandjulie1 and subscribe to us on YouTube too.
And visit Colorado Citizen Press, greatest blog. You'll find all the stories that you won't see in all the other blog sites that purport to give you the truth.
That's right. And if we don't get banned, we'll be talking about Shadowgate on Wednesday as well as other things too. So everybody have a great couple of days. We'll see you Wednesday.
Take care, everybody.